Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Tomorrow at this time, AJ will be in a dinosaur costume walking through Brantford.
Yes.
Hanging out with four-year-old Seth from Brantford, who's been to hell and back. It's a great story, a nice story.
Yep.
A much different story than what happened there just over 2 weeks ago in Brantford. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. There was a dramatic shooting and standoff of police. It was basically a police shootout. It was crazy. Armored vehicles, I mean, you name it.
Yep, SWAT team.
And fortunately, only one citizen was injured and not critical. But just a crazy story. Remember that video we played from Facebook? Very dramatic audio.
He has to reload now. He just shot a whole nother round of a different gun. Cops are out front trying. They just sent like a SWAT team coming. We're all safe. We're a house and a half away. The shooter is above Leon James Hair Salon. And he just keeps shooting gun after gun after gun, reload after reload after reload. He's shooting out of the upstairs window of the apartment, the back side window. You can hear it ricocheting off the walls, off the windows. I think he probably hit the cop cars. You could hear it making connections to metal. Right now, SWAT's coming, and our whole business is surrounded. We're upstairs hiding at grandmother's house, and this is not a typical day in Brantford, guys.
You could hear the nervousness in her voice,
yeah.
And but she was able to plow through and give everyone a run-through on that video. Taylor, who we just heard in that video, is on the phone now with her father, John. They're the owners of Shelley's Garden Center in Brantford. Good morning to both of you.
How are you?
Good morning.
Good,
how are you?
Yeah. So bring us through that.
It was a definitely a it was a rough morning for sure, but everyone acted swiftly and as calm as possible, and got everyone to safety, and then we let law enforcement do their job.
How long do you think the whole thing went on for?
Oh, we were up there for 7 hours, start to finish. But truly, from the time that we called 911, it was only 90 seconds before the police department was there. Brantford Police Department, East Haven Police Department, they were all here within 90 seconds.
And you were able to see the barrel of the gun sticking out the window. Like, how far away from the shooter were you guys?
We never saw the gun, but we saw all the gases and flames coming out the window as I stepped out in front of it.
That's close.
So, John, where were you?
I took three steps out in the middle of my driveway, and I turned to the right, and he was shooting out the window in my direction.
Would you say he was shooting at you?
I sure thought he was.
Yeah.
Well, that's enough.
Yeah, you can't debate. Just run inside.
Yeah. So did you run inside, or did you take cover somewhere?
No, I ducked behind a pallet in the middle of the driveway and stayed there until the police came. They started shooting at him, and then at one point I got up and ran when they started shooting at them.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine this?
Right.
What's going through your mind? You walk out your store and picking shots, then you hide, then the cops come. You're like, oh, good, the cops are here. And now there's a shootout with the cops.
Right, but now's my chance to run inside. Thank you. Good cover.
When the cops showed up, I mean, I was laying on the pallets, and they were all laying on the ground behind their cars because he started shooting at them.
Wow. How many shots do you think were fired over the course of that scenario?
Before they got there, 20, 30, maybe more.
Wow. And then they said hundreds of rounds were fired.
Yeah, but there was a shooting back and forth at that time. They started returning fire a little bit.
We were literally living in a cowboy Western movie. Our grandmother watches Turner Movie Classics all day long, and it was literally grandma was upstairs living through an Inquirer edition of good Lord, this isn't our little town.
Yeah. Were you able to smell the gunpowder? I mean, how close did this all feel to you?
He was within like 200 feet from us. But then he shot up my truck next door. He shot the whole house up.
Wow.
He shot the glass out of the truck. He shot the tires, holes through the body.
Wow.
Through my house, maybe 20 or 30 or 40 rounds into the house.
And then our family members that live in the home, through their TVs, through the china cabinets, bullets in the walls of the home.
Through the walls, yeah.
Through the walls.
Wow.
In the rocking chair, there was an AR bullet right in the arm of the rocking chair that at night, you know, we will sit together as a family and relax and recap life in the day. But right now, there's a hole in the arm of the rocking chair.
And lots of holes in our house.
And lots of holes in the house.
It's okay.
But everyone's alive and well, and we're blessed and grateful.
We got our truck back already.
Wow.
That was quick.
We hear the story, and it could have been so much worse.
He could have picked people off like nothing.
Right. The person that was shot, was that near you? Did you see it?
About 200 feet behind me, from where I was standing in the middle of the driveway, he got hit, and they think it was a ricochet or something like that. But
a fellow merchant next to us that's been there for years, another lovely family on the corner that owns another local little business.
And
he's
was okay?
Just walking in his parking lot.
Yes.
He is going to have a full recovery. We all keep praying for him and his family.
And so he was out there. So the police had to bring like an armored vehicle out there to get him, right?
Lots of them. Not just one.
Lots.
Wow.
And helicopters and SWAT vehicles and armored vehicles and military vehicles. And truly, I sat and looked at my two daughters, and my 8-year-old and 10-year-old were with us. And I said, there are no safer children in the world right now. You guys are going to be just fine. And we are going to walk away from today. And we're going to be very grateful for everyone that came and helped us and made sure that we got home safely to the rest of our family.
There was what a great thing to say to the kids, too, to
help
reassure them.
Absolutely.
Through. There was a story of a 16-year-old on a bicycle coming by your place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What happened there?
Yeah. I couldn't tell you if I ran out and got him or I just hollered at him. I haven't seen that video yet.
Wow, it's all a blur.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Yeah.
Yeah.
So I couldn't tell you if I ran out to the street or I just hollered at him to get him inside the building.
He did say you guys took him and brought him in.
Without question. Yeah.
So who knows if I thought I was laying behind the pallet for all that time.
But time definitely stood still. It was like the Twilight Zone. We have a little bit of education on the subject, so everyone jumped to action and didn't let our nerves get the best of us, and we had a plan and made sure that everyone was out of harm's way calmly, swiftly, and as calm as possible so that hysteria didn't set in, and we were rational and tried to be as safe as possible and did a lot of praying. A lot of praying. We felt everyone's prayers for sure. So we're definitely grateful for all of that.
It's pretty wild, the contradiction in what was happening. Because a garden center, to me, is always like a calm place. And
happy place.
You're picking a tree or whatever.
Flowers. Exactly.
You know, you're getting
find
ready
your
for
zen.
Serene.
Yeah, getting ready for spring.
Garden gnome.
Yeah, then a war breaks out.
Yep.
And Brantford Police released the 911 call yesterday, 911. Which was interesting.
And that's, you guys made the first 911 call?
Yes. Yes, sir.
What was your reaction to hearing it? Whose voice was it? Was it you, John, or was it Taylor?
It was myself. Myself on the phone.
And you were outside behind the pallets when you made the call?
I was hiding behind the pallets. And when the cops showed up, they were hiding behind their cars.
What was your reaction to hearing it? Did you remember the call or... It was like the first time you were hearing it.
I remember parts of it, but I guess I was a little bit nervous.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
I did give him an idea where the firing was coming from.
That's the most important part.
So, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Did you guys know the shooter?
No.
No.
Never saw him before?
I've met him once before when he was He was locked out of his house, and I picked him up with the forklift to the second story window about 5-6 weeks ago to let him in.
Oh, wow.
Being a good neighbor.
The only time he came over looking for a ladder, but the ladder wasn't tall enough for him to get in the second story window. So
he used the forklift.
Wow. Yeah, we put a pallet on the end of his forklift, and I lifted him up to his window, and that's the only contact I've ever had with him. I wouldn't recognize him if I saw him on the street.
Yeah.
Truly.
But we do unload our truck in the driveway right beside his window there every single day.
Oh, Jesus.
We were going over there to put carts on the truck. Our friend came to help us load carts on. It was our normal morning situation. We got flowers off the carts from the day before, and then we're going to load the carts back on. We're going to jump in the big truck, and we're going to go to all the local growers and support them and buy all of the best of the best. And it was not a normal day for us at Shelley's. We did not get to jump in the truck and go and buy more plants that day. And it's been an interesting week dealing with the aftermath of the story and everything that goes on after that that you don't really think about.
We have a little bit of that 911 call we're going to play right now.
We have an emergency. What's the address of your emergency?
Off a gun here near Richlands and Shelter. There it goes again down the side. You hear it?
No. What are you sounds talking like about?
A gun. It sounds like somebody's shooting off a gun. Now it's going down the street here, Harbor Street down there, Cherry Hill Drive. Oh, wait. You hear it? It's coming out the house on over at the barbershop. Come here, come. Just stay in the building there. It's coming out the window of the house near the barber shop across the street from Richland.
House near the barber shop across from Richland?
North Harbor Street and Main Street, second floor of the house. Somebody's shooting a gun out the window. Come here, come over.
Roger.
Okay.
When you say come here, come over here, are you talking to that kid on the bike?
I couldn't tell you.
Well, we were talking to the dogs. Oh, we were yelling at the dogs, yelling at the kids, yelling at people walking around, customers.
Wow.
It was a normal day of business at Shelley's. The kids were playing in the backyard with the dogs. He was yelling for Ivy at one point, which is my father's female German Shepherd that's always by his side.
Wow.
Could have been a lot worse.
It was intense there for a while.
Yeah.
It's a pretty intense phone call. And, John, you're so composed and getting all the important information out. Well done.
Yeah, man.
How's everybody now? You guys okay?
I had to go to the emergency room on Thursday morning to check and see if I had a heart attack or not. And
oh, my God.
Heart palpitations, but they got that under control so far. So
good.
Thank God.
It's been good the last few days.
Yeah, wow. Reliving the moment kind of puts you right back in the scene.
Yeah.
And if we just go about our normal, happy farmer life, everything is rainbows and unicorns is always my remarks. But as soon as you listen to that again, you can put yourself right back into it.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It makes your heart beat.
Well, the good part is we're still here.
But we're here to talk about it.
Yeah. No, we appreciate that. Thank you.
Our hearts go out to his family, and it's a tragedy, and we're grateful and blessed.
So tomorrow there's going to be a whole different scene there. Community's coming back quickly, and AJ's going to be in a dinosaur costume walking through Brantford with Seth, a four-year-old who's been through hell and back medically. So I feel like because you guys are such PLR fans, AJ needs to make sure he stops by.
Of course.
Shelley's.
I listen to PLR all the time until my wife gets here, and she keeps on turning you guys off. But
what? Point her out to me.
For the last 40 years.
Point her out to me.
The greenhouse is PLR zone. Don't even think you're going to change the station.
Says, how can you listen to that? I said, we listened to it for 40 years.
Yeah.
As a kid.
I heard that about 30 years ago, you guys pranked the radio station.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, you guys are good.
And it was all for fun.
How did that go? What happened?
You started making fun of one of my signs out in front of my building. That's when Smith and Barber were there at that time.
That's great.
And a couple days later, I got a letter from the town because I didn't have a permit to have that sign out there, so I had to remove it.
Dope.
The sign was a life-size cow that said fresh cow manure.
So when I removed it that night was a Wednesday night. I had called your radio station on Thursday morning because I told you that you had stole my cow and I wanted it back. So that started a thing for about 6 weeks at that time. It went on back and forth for like 5 or 6 weeks, and you have people down here from your radio station telling me I was a liar and I had it hidden in my basement. But it wasn't in my basement. It was at a friend of mine's house. It went on for a long, long time.
That's great.
Long ring prank.
So, and it was, Wiggy would remember. He's been there for a long time. And even Lapatino, he's still there. So
there's a cow involved, sure, definitely.
Yeah.
He's got something about that.
That's for a good laugh to think about, you know?
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on and sharing that story. And, of course, the story from last week. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Taylor.
Guys. And I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah.
We'll be listening.
Thank you. Taylor and John, owners of Shelley's Garden Center in Brantford, great people.
Right.
And, boy, two very brave people.
Very.
Yes. You hear them, and you hear that in the background, and they're able to get through with their what they have to say. Oscars are Sunday. Anybody?
Oscar!
Excited.
Oscar.
Yeah. Joel Myers, our movie guy, has the top five undeserving Best Picture winners.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Well, you want me to just reel them off?
Yeah. Was there a criteria? Just
my first one was Shakespeare in Love beating Saving Private Ryan in 1998.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of egregious. You know, Spielberg did win the director Oscar, but people were stunned when he lost Best Picture. And that was the work of Harvey Weinstein, you know, who when he was at his peak was the best Oscar promoter around. He pulled off a lot of the greatest upsets in Oscar history.
How does this happen?
What do you do?
Does he call them all?
He just knew how to like get the most stories in the papers. He had, more screenings. He sort of created the modern Oscar campaign. I mean, a couple of years before that, he pulled off an even bigger upset when Lauren Bacall was expected to win for The Mirror Has Two Faces. She had never been nominated before, you know, Hollywood legend. She was beaten by Juliette Binoche for The English Patient. People gasped. That was Harvey Weinstein at his peak.
They actually gasped in the audience?
Well, you know, I was told they did. People gasped around the country. Bacall had won every preliminary, you know, and those were the times when they thought that, you know, a veteran was going to get the award for her whole career. And that marked a change in that philosophy. But no one expected Juliette Binoche to win that year. That was really shocking. And he did that more than a few times with his movies. He was a genius at promotion.
Wow.
Sounds like a dessert, Binoche. Make some Binoche, please.
Spear in Love.
With custard.
I never saw that movie. Anyone here?
Nope.
I mean, it's not a bad movie, but it's not like Saving Private Ryan. You know, it was a kind of a light romantic comedy set back in Shakespeare's times. You know, not the sort of movie that up until then people thought of as a Best Picture winner.
You think it was too violent, Saving Private Ryan?
No, I think it was the Weinstein campaign. He just pushed. You know, no, people loved Saving Private Ryan. And the fact that, you know, Spielberg won for that movie said a lot. You know, they didn't honor the director of Shakespeare in Love. But it was just, you know, one of those crazy flukes that Harvey pulled off.
When you think of Shakespeare, do you think of Ben Affleck?
No.
Okay, he's in the movie.
He's in it?
Yeah, in a starring role. Like, really? He's not the lead guy, but he's in the movie. prominently.
Jesus.
Right. You know, and he was a Harvey guy. Harvey got him and Matt Damon the best screenplay Oscar for Good Will Hunting, which
is that right?
He was the only guy that read the screenplay when they wrote it. They put a whole fake part of the movie in there that I don't think I can really get into the details of because it gets very graphic. And he was the only one like, why is this in the movie? They're like, okay, you actually read it. We want to work with you.
But, you know, the rumor has always been that Harvey paid William Goldman $1 million to polish that script.
I'm just picturing a Boston accent from Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Can you grab a piece of Shakespeare in Love and we'll listen to it?
That's a piece of something.
Never saw the movie.
No.
But I don't, you know, so what do we have to endure here? Like Shakespeare is like, oh, you know, I'm in love. I'm going to write this poem.
Exactly right.
He falls in love with an actress in one of his plays, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, who also won Best Actress that year.
Yeah,
it's funny to think about Shakespeare at one time. He was like a 3-year-old. It's like, go to your room. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Stop writing, for Christ's sake.
Put the freaking book down and eat your breakfast.
Right. Go play with the rest of the kids.
All I kind of remember is, like, famously, Shakespeare plays would be portrayed by all men. All the actors on the stage would be men.
Even the women parts,
even the female.
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
Gwyneth Paltrow wanted to be an actor.
She pretends to be a man.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. She pretends to be a man.
Brother. Right. Isn't there a movie like that? It's called Mrs. Doubtfire.
She pretends to be a man pretending to be a woman?
Was that Victoria?
Yes. She pretends to be a man who wants to play a female role in one of Shakespeare's plays because all the female roles in his time were played by women.
That's why I
mean,
won. There's a statement.
I'm getting confused.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when your female lead is 5 o'clock shadow, I got a problem with that.
That's weird. Is that true or that's the twist they put on? Is that a true story?
No, that's true. True. In those days, women did not act on stage in England. No, the men played all the parts. So
I've heard
Lady
that before.
Macbeth,
yeah.
The love scenes are
Lady
gross.
Macbeth was played by a man. Juliet was played by a man. You know, it's hard to imagine what that must have been like, but that was the tradition back then.
Yeah, the kiss was awkward.
All right, that's why it won, though, right? Because it's a commentary on.
Yeah, it was, you know, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't a bad movie. It had a lot of charm, but it was just shocking that it would win Best Picture over Saving Private Ryan.
It had Ben Affleck.
And I didn't even know that.
I had no idea. Surprise.
Can we hear a clip from the movie?
Who is this? Silence, you jock!
Is that Ben?
Yeah.
I am Hieronymo.
Jesus.
I am Tamburlaine. I am Faustus. I am Barabbas.
Who the hell are you?
You're terrible.
Wow.
I am terrible.
Wow. Wow.
Okay, and that one, huh?
One.
That one.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm
stunned. Wow. I didn't even know that. This is really, truly an upset.
Right. Ben Affleck in a codpiece. No, thank you.
Your brain is so squoze.
That's the first thing you think of?
No.
Is Ben Affleck's penis?
No. Of course not. Of course not. Relax, lady.
I didn't think of it.
And it does have all that Shakespeare kind of like, there thou, thyest, thyest, thy, 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 thou.
Forsooth.
It has quite a bit of it, yeah, it does.
Where does a kid learn how to speak like? Was he walking around like when he was six? That was the deus, thy, thee, thy, thou.
Right. When his skin just need
go
very...
play with your dolls, kid.
Right. Yeah, when he scraped his knee, very dramatic. Oh, I have scraped my knee. I have fallen, and I have shredded my skin upon the cobblestone. Oh, woe is me. No Band-Aids have been invented. I need his peroxide.
What is this you have served me, mother?
My
orange juice, not freshly squoze.
My blood has been spilt upon the cobblestone. Oh, I'm worm's meat now. So something like that.
Yeah.
And squoze a real word, you fathead.
AJ, you'd be a pretty good Shakespearean actor.
Thank you.
He just wants the codpiece. Movie critic Joe Myers is on. He's doing his top five. Number one is Shakespeare in Love over Saving Private Ryan in 1998. What's number two?
Number two is Forrest Gump over Pulp Fiction in 1994.
That's fair,
that's
right?
That's kind of tough because Forrest Gump's a great movie.
Well, I think it's a good movie, but I don't think it's in the same ballpark as Pulp Fiction. And I think Tarantino should have won for director that year over Robert Zemeckis for Forrest Gump. That's just, you know, it's my personal opinion.
Yeah. No, it's your pick. I just don't see the Academy ever picking a Pulp Fiction. They don't even know what to do with a movie like that. Some of the scenes, of the dialogue's very graphic.
Bruce Willis.
It is. But they did nominate it, you know, for Best Picture, so they thought enough of it to do that. And I think, I'm pretty sure my memory serves me that Tarantino won for his screenplay that year.
Yeah, and when you, AJ makes a point, Bruce Willis
Bruce
is in the
Willis
movie.
In the movie. You never see Die Hard up for Best Picture.
Yeah.
It was good until Bruce Willis joined up. Ah, crap, yeah. Now what do we do?
But, you know, as much as I love Die Hard, that's a pure action film. Pulp Fiction is a really strange, interesting study of criminals. You know, it plays with time. It has great performances by Samuel Jackson. It was Travolta's big comeback movie.
He got nominated for Best Actor.
Yeah.
He did. And Uma Thurman was nominated for Best Supporting Actress. I mean, it was a big movie, and it was Tarantino's breakthrough. You know, before that, he had done Reservoir Dogs, which was a little indie film. This put him in the mainstream. You know, this really launched him as a major filmmaker.
When you have a movie that violent and it gets nominated, that's the win, right?
Absolutely. No, that was, and again, not to harp on it, but that was a Harvey Weinstein production. And he delivered, I think, 8 or 9 nominations for that picture, which a few years previously, you're right, a movie that sexy, that violent, probably would not have been nominated for Best Picture.
Right. Number three on your list?
Number three is going back a little further. Gandhi over E.T. in 1982.
Same height.
I mean, when's the last time you watched Gandhi?
Never. Nope.
Well,
yeah. Isn't that a
point proof? Yeah, exactly.
How long is that? Seems like a long time.
Gandhi, I think it's a 3-hour picture.
Oh, yeah. That's 2 hours too long.
It's too long.
Yep.
And all right. So what's the deal here? The guy just... he fought violence with peace.
Yeah, but the other one could, like, you know, have a finger that lit up.
Yeah, like, what am I watching here for? Okay, the guy's a peaceful guy. And, great.
Right. In history books, that got
Ben Kingsley the Best Actor Oscar that year over who I thought should win, which was Dustin Hoffman for Tootsie. I thought he was sensational in Tootsie.
Hmm.
So it's, you know, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah,
that's crap, right?
Yeah, Gandhi.
Yeah, E.T., so much more entertaining.
You thought E.T. should have won Best Picture.
Yes, I mean, I think that's a classic film, you know, and it was an enormous box office hit, you know, another Spielberg triumph. I think that's a wonderful film, and I think people still watch that movie and enjoy it.
You had that Neil Diamond song, Turn On Your Heart Light, and it, you know, come on, the whole thing was dramatic. His finger lit up, for Christ's sake. And his nickel, like, yeah, remember? It's cool.
But, I mean, you know, it shows you the apples and oranges aspect of this. How do you compare Gandhi to E.T.? Another movie nominated that year, which was great, I just talked about, Tootsie. You know, those three movies are so different. How do you compare them?
Yeah. Have a dance-off.
They always, when you look at a list of nominees, you could almost guess it's going to be, like Keith says, the movie about them, Hollywood, or the entertainment, you know,
the media. Right.
Or it's going to be something that feels artsy, so they can feel like, we're almost theater people.
Look at us, how artsy we are.
Yeah, yeah, so Paul Newman's The Verdict also nominated a lot that year. The same, the Gandhi.
You know, and they tend to go for historical things, too. Like, I mean, a lot of actors have won for playing historical figures. You know, Daniel Day-Lewis as Lincoln, Ben Kingsley as Gandhi. You know, there's a long tradition of that. They love, like, big, hefty historical movies.
Except for Pearl Harbor.
That was Titanic.
That was a hysterical movie. I don't think that was a historical movie.
Right. Not intentionally, obviously.
Number four.
Obviously. Number four is The King's Speech over The Social Network in 2010. Mr. Weinstein had The King's Speech, and most people thought that year Social Network was going to win. You know, it was up for, I think, 8 or 9 Oscars, and The King's Speech, which, again, historical drama, you know, Colin Firth also won Best Actor for that. You know, it's in that tradition, but it wasn't a great movie. But again, Mr. Weinstein worked his butt off, you know, promoting that movie, and he succeeded.
It's one. The King's Speech is one of the movies that I saw during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's all like, all right, what haven't I seen?
Yeah.
And you chose that?
Yeah, you go through said whatever nap. Movie. You're, you know, what am I going to watch?
Take right, your nap right, works. Right, right. You know? The inside of my eyelids works.
Did you regret it?
Right. No, I loved it.
What was wrong? Did he flubble or something?
Yes. You would love this movie.
It's not a bad movie.
He couldn't speak.
It's not a bad movie.
Been there, lived it. We're good.
Living it every day.
Oh, exactly. We need that guy to work with you.
Okay, cool.
The Social Network, never saw that. I just feel like
that's David Fincher's movie about the creation of Facebook. It's a great movie.
I hate everything about Facebook. Why would I want to watch 2 hours of that?
Well, it tells you how it started, and it might reaffirm your hatred for it. You know, it really goes into the life of Mark Zuckerberg when he was at Harvard and the forces that caused him to create that. You know,
well,
he was
stole,
a nerd who
right?
couldn't get any. Well, he worked with a couple of guys, but it was created for him to get girls, basically.
Really?
And it worked?
Absolutely.
Yeah, wasn't it? It was called something different.
The Facebook.
It was called
no.
The
Facebook. Face Smash.
Face Smash?
Yep.
When he's was the Hulk habit?
Okay. Yeah. And they would put women
side
up
by
there.
Side, and you pick which one is better.
Yep.
Is this real?
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's insane.
He
We're
wanted...
burning all these people at the stake, and he's never come up for
right.
discussion.
Exactly.
Like, what
no,
about
I know.
This guy?
I know.
Yeah, he'd be in Facebook jail already.
I love
no, it's,
this movie.
It's a great movie.
It's great. It is absolutely great. And Trent Reznor does all of, like, the moody,
oh, the
tonal
music
behind it.
He won the Oscar for that. That's a great
Deservedly
score.
So, I thought, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is the movie going to end and I'm going to be pissed?
Probably.
Yeah,
no.
You're always good. Well, aren't you always mad?
No, I'm not.
You know,
I'm either sad or I'm happy because I picked the right movies.
Right.
It's also very funny. You know, there's a lot of funny stuff in it. It's not just a grim drama. It's what's his name? The writers. Aaron Sorkin wrote it. Great
yeah.
script. Great script. Jesse Eisenberg plays Zuckerberg. Wonderful performance. It's a really, really good movie.
It doesn't work without him in that role.
Because Zuckerberg's real crack up.
He was perfect. He was willing to really play a nerd who couldn't get any chicks.
Wow.
Wow.
And
he's
obnoxious
in the film.
I'm going to write that down as a possible watch.
Social Network. Okay.
I don't think you get to the creation of the website. I think you get 30 minutes in, you're like, we're not even at Facebook. I'm out.
I'm going to find Phil right now.
Give it a shot.
Justin Timberlake appears later. You're going to be like, oh, what is happening?
Yeah. When you get that text in all bold caps, Phil.
All right, I'm back out.
And he's
angry
good.
Face,
no,
angry face.
Timberlake is good. He plays this really sleazy guy. He's very good in the movie.
I like,
he's a great
hate
actor.
This guy.
Played
I want to hate him so much. He's good at everything he does.
Yeah.
He is very good.
All right, and then number five, top five.
The last one.
Hold on. Undeserving Best Picture winners. Here's number five.
Crash over Brokeback Mountain in 2005.
I saw Crash. That was great. That was where the car accident leads everyone. They're all connected, right?
Yeah, it's the racial drama, L.A. They are all connected. Again, not a bad movie, but I didn't think it was of the same caliber as Brokeback Mountain. And I thought Heath Ledger was just fabulous in that movie.
I never saw Brokeback Mountain. Doesn't seem like
it's a really good movie. Yeah. Great acting. Jake Gyllenhaal, Michelle Williams, Anne Hathaway is very good in it.
I've heard nothing but good things about that movie.
I can't pronounce Jake's last name. That's why I don't watch it.
Again, it's bleak. I mean, it does not end on an up note. I will give you that warning.
What happens?
The
guy dies? Someone dies.
The mountain broke.
Someone dies, yes.
Which one?
The mountain.
Right.
Which one?
That makes sense.
Should I Jake dies.
Which one is he?
Damn it.
See the black hat?
He's part of the gay couple. Him and Heath Ledger have Jake Gyllenhaal.
What's wrong with you?
You don't know who Jake Gyllenhaal is?
Yeah, I know who he is.
We're talking about characters in the movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. You're right there.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I was like, what?
All right.
Like E.T. for a moment.
It's a glitch. I've had those all the time. I forget who somebody is.
You know, I started watching that stupid movie with the RV the RV people.
RV
came out this year.
Oh, Nomadland.
That's it.
Oh, okay.
I got about 20 minutes into this thing, and it's just the same emotion, like depression.
Right.
From second one to 20 minutes in. I think Jennifer, I'm like, yeah, we're out. Yeah.
Not a lot of plot.
Let's
not
go
a
outside.
Lot of plot.
Like, you know, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Right? This sucks. Life sucks.
Right. I'm going to go do laundry. Yep.
I'm on a couch. It's a Saturday night. I get to drink a beer and stay up late.
Right, exactly.
I don't want life to suck right now.
No.
Something should be exploding, and I should be crapping my pants with excitement right now.
Or a good story
with
twists and turns, a shift of emotions. I'm happy. I'm sad.
Yeah,
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Right.
Oh, there is an explosion.
Yeah, not RV.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe don't watch The Social Network.
And there goes that.
Three suspected poachers were attempting to flee Kruger National Park rangers when they ran into a breeding herd of elephants.
Whoops.
I picture, like, the bad guys run into a bar and it's full of cops.
Right.
It's like, oh.
Right.
Not good.
And they're breeding. They don't want to be interrupted right now.
Back away. Exactly. Slowly.
Right. The breeding herd is not breeding at that moment.
Right.
Nope.
Okay.
They are a group of closely related females with young ones.
Oh.
The herd is led by the eldest. So basically, these guys came upon a group of women with their children as they're holding tools to kill them.
Oh. God.
Not good.
Serves them right.
Morons.
Elephants are very protective of their young. They will beat you with their 400-pound trunk and stomp you to death.
All right, some poacher the pancake.
That's just the women.
Yes.
The men will spear you with their trunks.
They will. Then use it with a cocktail oil.
They can pick up 800 pounds with their trunk. So,
wow.
Human, no problem.
Three of them. No problem.
No problem. Yeah.
They'll flip it to another country.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could do that, like a Three Stooges slap over three.
Yeah.
Nelly into the ground.
Right. Give you such a pinch. Down, down, down. Die, die, die.
I picture the elephant using its trunk to squeeze one of the humans like a stress ball.
Right.
But the stress ball's like in the shape of a frog, and you just see the eyes go whoop.
Yep.
What can I can do?
They pop
what?
Right out.
Yep.
So the rangers catch up with one of the guys who didn't know what happened to the other two.
You ran faster, huh?
Yeah, this is all you need to be is the fastest runner.
Exactly. Make sure the slowest guy's behind you and you're good.
Trip, and run.
Right. Exactly.
Then they came upon the second guy who had a massive eye injury.
Oh, that's it, huh?
They don't say in the story what happened to him, but
he's
I'm guessing.
It squoze.
What's that?
He's the guy that squoze, like you were saying before.
Oh, popped his eye.
Right. Stress ball guy.
Squoze?
Right. Squoze.
Is that a word?
It is now.
Squoze.
He's freshly squoze.
Would you like a cup of human freshly squoze?
There you go. See? Right.
You talk about me.
AJ, for flubble purposes, how do you spell squoze?
Your neck.
Why?
How's
that
work
you
for
are.
You? How's that working out for you? Good day? Spanky.
Squoze. Squozing.
Squoze your head.
Well, that makes sense that his eye popped out when he was being squozed.
He got squozed, yeah.
The great squozing.
He got squozed. It's a regional dialect there, dumbass.
That makes more sense because I'm picturing him running through the forest and getting a branch in the eye.
No, I got squoze.
Yeah. Or he had a fist fight with a monkey.
Right.
Yeah, the squoze. He was squoze.
He got squoze.
Squozing.
And then there's the third guy. They found him severely trampled.
Like a rug?
He was still alive.
Oh, my God,
oh,
really?
Oh, wow.
Ugh.
So he, just suffering the whole time.
He eventually died.
Oh. Good.
No. Don't be a poacher.
But when you're on the ground, are you counting each elephant as it runs over you?
Right. One, two, three. Oh, my God, how many herds?
I like they trample him, and then they're just like, well, On with our day.
Yeah, let's go.
Someone poops
Moving
on.
Moving on.
There you go. That's what you get.
I picture the elephants doing like a dance on this guy. Like they didn't just run over him.
Dun, 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 dun. Hey. Dun, 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 dun. Hey.
Squash the freaking poacher. Squash the freaking poacher.
Squoze another poacher.
Squoze another poacher.
Squoze another poacher. Fresh squoze.
How do you like your lemonade?
Fresh squoze.
Ugh. Imagine that. You almost get the life squoze out of you.
Exactly right.
But you're still alive.
Right.
Wouldn't that be something, all this noise, you know, the noise the elephants make, the trumpet sound and the stomping and all this noise, and then they run off and it's really quiet and you're laying there and you're like, oh.
And then the baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Then the baby comes over.
Oh, one more.
And then you're like, ugh. And then a coconut falls, lands on your head.
Right.
Doop.
Right.
And the monkey's throwing bananas.
Right. No, they throw feces.
And then you're about to take your last breath and a mosquito comes and bites you.
And then you die of malaria.
Right.
Stuck in your throat.
It hurts to cough.
A zebra comes by and pees on you.
Right. the whole jungle's after him, huh?
He deserves all of that.
Right.
Now, that's a laundry commercial I'd be impressed with.
Right.
You get this guy's clothes clean.
Right.
I'm buying your product.
Exactly. Look, all the elephant
prints
are out of it.
You know how they do those, like, dirty socks and those side by side?
Yeah. Right.
Here's the Tide and here's the generic brand.
Look, all the blood stains are out.
Get this shirt clean, Tide.
Well, I can, his teeth are out of there, too.
We need more Calgon.
His pants need cleaning.
If you're the coroner, do you write down every one of the 50,000 injuries, or do you just write tripled by elephants?
No, multiple. Squoze. Right. Freshly squoze.
Well, first of all, you mail them to the coroner. Get right in the slot.
Yeah, you pick them up with the world's biggest spatula.
Exactly.
And then fold them up.
Yeah,
like he'll fold. Put them in an envelope.
Hype. Like home fries. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, origami.
Black. Yeah, I think you just write trampled by elephants.
Just write gush.
Comma, freshly squoze.
Squoze, yes.
By the way, what's the deal with messing with elephants this year? There are too many elephant stories.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Leave the giant animals alone. You're not going to win.
Right.
Leave all animals alone.
They're the friendliest animals, too.
Oh, yeah.
To kill a giant animal like that just for the ivory. And it's...
Ugh.
Yep. It's way squoze.
Yep. No sympathy for the squozen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, I think about how much it hurts when I stub my toe on something.
Right.
Can you imagine the pain? Like, how many times, like, we need a scientist to do, okay, toe stubbing is this pain,
right.
And then now a 12,000-pound elephant, a herd of them, stomping on you multiple times.
Right. Squozing you.
Yeah.
Squozing you.
Like a lit cigarette.
Stomping you on the ground with its trunk.
And all then, at once.
And right. Then doing the tango on you.
Right. The conga line. The squoze.
How many times would the pain be?
Right.
Oh, my God.
Amplified, right. Yes.
Stub toe on the left side of the scale, and then stomped by 12,000-pound elephants on the other side.
Chaz, a piece of ice fell over the rim of my glass out of my ice maker and hit my bare toe the other day, and I was in pain. So I can only imagine what this was like.
That's a big piece of ice then.
I know.
It's one of those, like, it just hits on the knuckle just like...
Yeah.
And you're just like... Ah!
That's, they say when you experience trauma like that, you go right into shock. This is where your shock... is in shock.
Right. You're too shocked.
Yeah. It's like, I'm shocked over here.
Right.
I'm the shocked shocked.
Right. Shocking.
Yeah. Well, that's a happy ending, right?
It is, yes.
I love how elephants were like, no, no, no. Leave them alive.
Right.
Now we can go.
Yeah. Is that a California music festival? It's a viral video from 2019, but it's, you know, making its way around again. I don't know why.
I remember
this.
They're
done watching it.
I remember this.
All right, we're done with this. You can have it back now.
Video shows a woman wearing a black one-piece swimsuit.
Unitard.
Along with a cap, sunglasses, and a pair of red boots. And now when I read this description, I'm like, ugh, who wants to see this?
Yeah.
Turns out it's like, who wants to see this?
Oh. Those kind of red boots.
As she dances around, Suddenly, she whips out a boob and starts spraying milk all over the place.
Well, the music moves you sometimes. Moves you, yes.
She then carries on twerking and dancing before one festival goer who crouches near her in an attempt to catch some of the milk in her mouth.
Her mouth?
Her mouth.
Oh.
And she's dressed like a bear or a raccoon or something.
Oh, raccoons love milk.
A red panda. I don't know. Something right. With one of those ears.
This is just bizarre festival all around, isn't
it? It is. It's so weird.
Like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. This is the music. This is right from the video. I feel like that guy from Great Adventure should get out of the bus.
Oh, the Six Flags guy?
Yeah.
Guy?
Yeah. Mr.
Yeah.
Six. Dancing slowly, though.
And that milk is shooting out pretty far.
It is.
Is that the sound of...
Holy crap.
Is that her?
She's had practice with this.
That's her.
That's it.
Rapid fire. There you go. There's the milk. Hold up your cornflakes. I'll put it in there for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, at $15 a beer, I would get a cup and start... hey, hold on.
Nope, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm going to make a white Russian.
I'm good.
I need some vodka now. Thank you.
She's so happy. She's just having a good time.
Well, she's the center of attention.
Exactly, yeah. Right.
She was having a good time before that, though, you could tell.
Because she was the center of attention.
And she's sharing her milk.
I didn't realize the M in EDM was milk.
Hmm. Somewhere there was a hungry baby with its lips puckered.
Yeah. Right.
Where's mama?
Hello.
I'm hungry.
Yep.
And then flip over to mama.
Yep. Feeding the crowd. Like a lawn sprinkler.
Do you notice she had multiple streams coming out?
I didn't notice that. I saw that one long one.
It talent? wasn't a single shot. It
it's
was
like four.
Yeah.
Is that like an Olympic event?
Really? What, like split? Like you put your finger in front of the hose?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was wondering, I couldn't tell from the quality of the video if there was like a piercing or something there.
Or a pimple.
Oh, wow.
Sure.
Could be a hair. I'm just picturing a lawn sprinkler.
Yes.
Doesn't look like it.
That lawn is green now, I tell you.
Ashley just got her nose an inch from her computer screen to take a look.
It's a small boob. I had to pay attention.
They are
doesn't
small
look
boobs.
Like it.
You picture big boob, you picture big woman, but it's a small woman and small boobs.
And lots of milk, apparently.
I mean, it's a decent-sized boob.
Okay. Yeah. I guess it was a lot smaller than I imagined.
Well, it's very
like
small on my computer screen.
It was probably larger before I started shooting the milk out. Got to refill now.
Maybe she's so high she thinks these concert goers are hungry babies. She just pictures a bunch of people in diapers.
Yep. Well, it's an odd festival. They might have been in diapers.
That's a lucky baby because really you don't want to drink that mama's milk. It's like a liquid pharmacy.
Yeah, at this point.
Yeah,
seriously.
You're right.
Yeah, it is White Russian.
Yeah, give it to these guys.
Yep.
Way better. Clean those tanks out. Start again.
We got to scrub them down.
Yeah, let's clean them out.
Start over.
Right.
Purge. It's like in a brewery. When you're going to start a new brew.
Yep.
Get everything down.
Like an airplane. If you're at a dairy farm in the milk tank, if there's any situations, fingerprint, anything, if you do the wrong thing, you have to drain the whole thing, scrub the thing out.
Oh.
So scrub those tanks.
There you go. Like an airplane, jettison that fuel.
If I go to a music festival, I expect an occasional beer to be spilt on me.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't expect to be shot in the face with breast milk.
No.
I'm like, that's...
I don't think you should ever expect that.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're somewhere good.
It should always be a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's extra. Extra perk.
In public, that should never be something that you're trying to be aware of, avoiding.
Yeah, when you're getting dressed... You know, I say, well, I don't want to wear my good shirt because I might get some beer or breast milk on it.
Exactly. It's a silk shirt. It's hard to clean.
Oh, that's the worst.
At Carnival de Leche.
Right. It's never been like the seventh inning stretch, and I'm looking behind me for like, who's got their shirt down?
Why is my hair wet all of a sudden?
Breast milk.
Now she took him out at the ball game.
Now when I hear this, I hear that sound now, and I just picture like machine guns.
I want to get back to a place where people start doing that again.
What, spraying breast milk?
Yeah.
What?
Like, where do you hang out?
I long for the days of breast milk being squirted on strangers in a public place.
You know, post-COVID in a festival atmosphere like this, sure. Like, let's...
Yeah, I think now in 2021, if you go to a concert and start squirting breast milk out, people aren't going to open their mouths.
No.
They're going to be like, I don't know
what's
in there.
They're going to put masks on.
I know. Yeah.
Get a fire hose, fire back.
But then again, there's Florida, so...
Right.
True.
Depends where you have it,
I guess.
That's
true, yes.
Start dressing like Tanuki Mario and go on to EDM festivals, Ashley, and you can have people spraying breast milk at you.
I don't know who that is, Phil.
You know, that would have been a better halftime show of Janet Jackson if Justin Timberlake ripped that off and she just...
Exactly, right?
And then someone wiped out.
I'd watch that.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone shoot breast milk at another person.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the first video.
First time for everything.
Yeah. I hope she doesn't feed the baby like that.
Right.
I hope she like milks herself. And
going for accuracy.
Like, all right, baby, open your mouth.
Right.
She was not going for accuracy. She was just going for sheer distance.
Oh, yeah.
The distance was fine, but the accuracy, again, it was a scatter shot. It was all over the place.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
She was having such a good time. She's like, what could I do to bump this up to the next level?
I don't want to see what happened after that.
You ever, you do something and now attention's on you and you have to keep, now you're like, what next?
Yeah, how do you top this?
Right? I've seen people in this situation where they do something interesting on the dance floor and now we're all watching, but that was their only move.
That's it.
Now they start making stuff up. I think that's what happened. She's like, everyone's watching me now. I'm dancing here.
Yeah, how do I top this?
What am I going to do next?
I'm feeling kind of top heavy.
Or she was smart enough to know, this is the show closer.
Right.
This is my Freebird.
This is the finale. Thank you. Good night.
Can you imagine going to a car wash and your car pulls in and it's just a bunch of women?
That'd be the hot wax.
Take a long time to get your car clean.
It's a weird visual. I know.
I've got less visibility now.
Yeah.
Well, I have a large vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, very interesting.
Yep. Something different.
Something you don't see every day and something that Ashley's longing for its return.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I am. Damn it.
All right. Let's book a pregnant lady. Let's bring it on back. Did we continue?
I don't know how you top that.
Yeah, I think we're good.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.